Well, living in California, we live in earthquake country, and if you've ever been through one of those, it's unsettling. It really is unsettling. You're doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden things start to shake, and you don't know how intense it's going to become. Fact of the matter is that we all have to recognize, if we live in California or some other states like Washington or Oregon, that earthquakes are a fact of life, which means you have to know how to be prepared for them. And you know what? There's insurance you can get in order to be protected in case your home gets flattened. Bottom line is, we wanted some answers. We went to the CEO of the California Earthquake Authority, Glenn Pomeroy.
Hi, Hal. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. California Earthquake Authority is a great organization. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
And to deal with something as catastrophic as earthquakes and the impact that earthquakes have on people, that's what I refer to as a daunting task.
Yeah. Well, it's a public-spirited organization born out of crisis, created in the wake of the Northridge earthquake, and it has a public mission. We're a not-for-profit organization, and so that means that we're just in this to try to get California better prepared, not to make a buck for shareholders or a corporate parent somewhere, and it's that public mission that I really enjoy.
You have an interesting background. You come from a place that's not earthquake country.
Right. Yeah, North Dakota. Like the land of least earthquakes ever.
Yeah.
We had our share of natural disasters. public service is my background. I was in the legislature and I was the state insurance commissioner when we...
When you were in the legislature, were you an assembly person, a state senator?
The State House of Representatives meets 3 months every 2 years, and I was elected when I was 22, so it was about 125 years ago.
I started broadcasting before that.
So. Did that for 6 years, did other things in public service, was a prosecutor, but then I became the state insurance commissioner. And in 1997, we lost a town to a major flood. City of Grand Forks. In the spring of the year, was entirely flooded, a town of 55,000 people, entirely evacuated, entirely flooded. At that time, that was the largest evacuation of an American city since the Civil War. Well, that record no longer exists with all the hurricanes we've seen lately. But we had a mess on our hands, and I was state insurance commissioner. And that experience taught me how incredibly important it is to have financial protection for all kinds of things, including natural disasters that don't happen very often. That's really what gave me sort of this interest in this area and ultimately brought me to California.
You know, we talk about these natural disasters, these hurricanes. Back when Harvey happened in Houston, I got dispatched to that.
Did you?
And was dealing with all of the tumult that came along with that particular hurricane. But it seems like disasters are becoming a way of life.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. They talk about the new normal. And, I guess people still want to, or some people anyway, still want to debate how real climate change is. I think we just accept the fact that things are changing. We need to adapt, and we need to not have our heads in the sand. Hurricane Harvey, a great example. You know, you had this incredible flooding hitting homes that weren't even in the floodplain. They didn't have flood insurance. So now, a year later, those people are still trying to figure out how to put their life back in order because the federal government doesn't come in and rebuild homes. There's emergency assistance that's available. But without proper financial protection, people are on their own. And that's why we have such an urgent need to get more homes protected in California for earthquake.
I want to talk about that because you and I were talking earlier, and you had thrown out an interesting statistic that absolutely blew my mind. You know, we've had the California Earthquake Authority for a while.
Yep.
It used to be that insurance companies like State Farm or Allstate or whatever, they used to provide earthquake coverage until Northridge happened.
Right.
And that was so powerful, and it caused so much damage and so much destruction that the insurance companies didn't want to deal with earthquake insurance anymore. They basically said, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And that's when California came up with this nonprofit, the California Earthquake Authority, to come up with some kind of a pooling mechanism by which people could pay, And on the hopes that we wouldn't have an earthquake for a long time, the pool could build. And then when we did have an issue, then you'd take the money from the pool, and that's how it would work, right?
Yeah, and in fact, that's exactly right, and that is how it has worked. And so California has taken one unique step that no other state has taken, and that is it makes insurance companies offer an earthquake policy when they sell the homeowner's policy. And until Northridge, companies were fine with that because they didn't understand the risk, but then they got their clocks clean and basically said, we can't do this anymore. So not only could people not find a way to get earthquake insurance, they couldn't get homeowners insurance because the company didn't want to be stuck offering the earthquake policy.
But despite the fact that they're required to offer it, a homeowner isn't required to buy it.
No requirement.
And so the statistic you threw out earlier that I was alluding to was that 90% of the people in California do not have earthquake insurance, and that stymies me.
Yeah. California, a beautiful state, rich in diversity and in all sorts of ways, including geographic diversity. But it's home to two-thirds of the nation's earthquake risk, right here. Now, there's other parts of the country that have some. You know, Washington, Oregon, Charleston, sitting on top of all sorts of earthquake risk. There was a big earthquake in Missouri back in the early 1800s that rang church bells in Boston. So we don't have it all, but lucky us, we got two-thirds of it. But 90% of the homes are not financially protected for it.
What do you attribute that to?
Earthquakes are tough. It's not like a hurricane where, you know, you can see them coming off the coast of Africa and get a week to prepare. And so there's all this media attention and all this awareness, and they happen more frequently. Earthquakes, big damaging ones, don't happen as often. And so there is a sense of complacency that sets in. It's human nature. I'm not being critical of people. It's just the way we operate. It's a busy world. It's busier now than it's ever been before, and everybody's focused on what's immediately in front of them. It's hard to think about the gigantic tectonic forces that are at play underneath our feet, which are going to someday produce a massive damaging earthquake. That could be as when you and I are sitting here talking, or it could be a week or months or years from now. We don't know. Can't know.
And if that happens as we're sitting here talking, we get underneath this table.
That's right.
That's right in front of us. And we hope for the best.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because everybody in California needs to know what to do instantly.
What should they do?
It's really simple. Three things. Drop, cover, and hold. What does that mean? You drop to the ground right away. Don't think about it. Don't look to see if there's a door you ought to run into, because that is what they used to tell people. Run to a door frame. Worst advice ever. So that hasn't been suggested for 20 years, but some people still remember it. Drop to the ground. And that's because heavy objects are going to be flying off the walls or off the ceilings, looking for your head, and you need to get out of the way. So drop to the ground, number one. Two, cover. If there's a table, scooch under it, but if there's no table immediately handy, don't go running around looking for one. Cover your head with your hands. Think about the head as the thing you got to protect. So cover the back of your head and neck with your hands. Drop, cover, and then finally hold. Hold on. Just sit there. Wait. I mean, not sit there. Drop. Keeping that crouched position until the ground quits shaking. It could last 45 seconds or a minute. Then when the shaking stops, then get up and look for a safe place to get out.
The thing is, it doesn't take 45 seconds to a minute to cause a lot of damage. Sylmar was 12 seconds.
Right.
And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Northridge might have been 19 seconds. Do you remember what that was?
I don't offhand. I think it was something like that.
You know, the thing about Northridge, and I'll share a personal story. A bookcase came down, did a karate chop across my leg. And it was so sudden, in a dark room, 4 something in the morning, I passed out.
Wow.
A neighbor had to bring me to.
Wow.
Because my wife was outside, and I mean, you know, it's like, where's he? He's on the floor in the other room, and it was scary,
sure.
And so you have to watch out for the bookcases, you have to watch out for the TVs, you have to make sure that your home is what they call quake safe, right?
That is such a powerful anecdote story you just relayed, because we learn when these things happen. Now living in California, people with heavy bookcases, just go to the hardware store and get a little thing to attach it to
get
the wall
strap
more securely. Yep. We had a moderate earthquake in Napa just a couple years ago, and there was a very serious injury caused when something toppled over on a child.
Yeah.
So we learn about ways we can just take simple steps to get better prepared. And the bookcase is a great example. Or another thing is, these earthquakes seem to often happen. It's coincidental, but they often happen in the middle of the night, or, you know.
Yeah, what's up with that? Well, what the hell is going on with that?
What the hell?
Yeah.
Earthquakes don't have a wristwatch, but when they do happen in the middle of the night, you know, the instinct is to get up and run. A very common injury in an earthquake that happens in the middle of the night is cut feet, because you get up in your bare feet and run over broken glass. Most of the injuries in Napa were people with lacerated foot injuries. So keep a pair of slippers by your bed.
If you've ever been through a quake, you know that everything comes flying out of the closets.
Yeah.
You know, the cans, the glasses, and that's when you get broken glass on the ground from things that come flying out of the closet. It's dark. You don't see it exactly what you're talking about.
So when you can start breaking it down like your podcast allows us to do, and really get into it just a little deeper, you start to uncover just some real simple things you can do to make living in earthquake country safer. I love California, and we're here to stay, and so are 40 million others, and we should just recognize the fact that, but it's earthquake country, so how can we be prepared? Strap the bookcase, keep the slippers by the bed, and we're just getting started. You know, there's so many things.
Go to your garage and open up the trunk, and do you have something in there in case you get stuck out on the road somewhere? Yep. Do you have a blanket? Do you have a pillow? Do you have a flashlight? Do you have batteries? What do you have there that if you suddenly ended up on a road, like, you know, we've seen in the past that the cracks, like the 14 freeway at the 5 interchange, what happened during Sylmar, and you're stuck out there, you got to be prepared to maybe go 3 days, right?
Sure, yeah.
Isn't 3 days what we usually think about when it comes to any kind of a disaster?
It's a good rule of thumb, and that could come in handy even if you're stuck in your home, because you might not have utilities. And
we have to have water, right? You need to have a backup of water in the garage.
Got
to
have some food. I mean, just plan on being prepared for a camping trip for a few days and visualize what you need to sort of be on your own for a while.
So the morning that Northridge happened, gas stations were all closed.
Yeah.
I had to get to work. Fortunately, I made sure there was gas in the tank overnight. Hmm. I don't like to park my car in front of the house without a full tank of gas, or at least enough gas to know if there was an earthquake overnight, I can get somewhere.
That's another great point. Too many of us run pretty close to empty, and if suddenly all the gas stations are closed, we're going to be kind of stranded for a while. So it's another great practical tip. Or, and this is very important, a lot of the homes in this area, if they were built prior to 1979, were built prior to when building codes got strengthened. And so these homes are basically just a disaster waiting to happen. You think of a big, heavy structure that's just sitting on top of vertical studs, basically. Those vertical pieces of lumber aren't going to hold that heavy home when the ground starts moving back and forth. The house acts as if it basically has the rug pulled out from underneath it. And even in moderate earthquakes, like Napa just a couple years ago, homes just slump off the foundation and are either totally destroyed, or it's going to take several years to get the finances together to raise several hundred thousand dollars and get that house lifted and reset on the foundation. So the things you can do about it, get a hold of a contractor, get someone underneath that home and put in some braces and bolts around here. That costs maybe $3,000 or $4,000. But it can make your home far stronger and less vulnerable to toppling off the foundation.
You're talking about retrofitting, which is a very popular word in the state.
Yeah.
And retrofitting is really just, by definition, going back and putting something in to make it work again, or at least be strong enough to be able to withstand something like an earthquake. What kind of retrofitting programs does the state have that can help homeowners?
Well, I'm really excited about the program we have at the California Earthquake Authority. It's called the Earthquake Brace and Bolt Program. And just that's a clever name just because we brace and bolt the home to the foundation. But
nothing
but,
like simplicity, right?
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
It's a great program. We started a couple years ago, and we actually have some dollars available to provide financial incentives to help reimburse people who live in certain zip codes if they get their home properly retrofitted. We do a couple thousand a year. We've now done like 6,500, something like that. we can do so much more if we have access to additional sources of funding. We're working on some ideas. I'd like us to be able to do 20 or 30,000 homes a year instead of a couple thousand. And we're working on some ideas that may allow us to get to that point someday. The clock's ticking, and we just need to help people get their home shored up.
You know, it's interesting. I don't think a lot of us really think about what kinds of things government agencies have that can help us. I happen to be, you know, somebody who likes to be green like Kermit the Frog. So I have solar panels, and I have low-flow water, and I took out the grass, and I've got succulents, and I'm very happy with my whole house, my little piece of planet Earth on the corner.
Good for you.
Well, my feeling about that, and I've articulated it before, is that if I've got a little piece of this planet, then I want to make sure that it's the best little piece of planet that I can have. And so my personal sense of it is if we're going to measure things in carbon footprints, which is a term none of us had ever heard about before, then I want my carbon footprint to be good.
Yeah.
And so I sort of think in terms of that. I learned a lot. I was just going to say, through agencies that can help provide things that make those things happen. And go ahead, pick up.
Oh, I was just going to say, I applaud everything you've just said. And there's nothing green about having to rebuild a home that's been needlessly destroyed in an earthquake, when a little bit of retrofitting would have made that home able to withstand the shaking that's to occur. So, for people like you, who are doing all the right things to be a better steward of this environment, I think tacking on retrofitting older homes belongs on that list, so that we don't have to totally rebuild the home from scratch because of the shake damage that occurred.
You know, and let me ask you this. I mean, I think this is probably a fair statement, that just because your home looks a certain way, it was built in $1970. So when you get the money from your destroyed home to rebuild, it's not necessarily going to be everything it was, is it?
Well, the way our program works is, the home has to be insured on the homeowner side by a homeowner's insurance policy, and the insurance company will come by every now and then and reevaluate how much it's going to cost to rebuild that home. So the reconstruction value of the home always is being adjusted upwards. That's what we insure the home for too, not its market value, but we match the amount of coverage that the homeowner insurance company has placed on it, and that is an amount that's supposed to be able to rebuild that home.
As is. Well,
yeah.
That's great to hear.
You know, there's a constant struggle to keep up with the increased costs and so on.
Well, that's why I raised the question, because things cost so much more now.
Yeah.
And construction seems to go up constantly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Since we've been around, reconstruction costs have gone up 170%.
Wow.
So if we were content to be sitting behind our desk in Sacramento and raising our rates whenever reconstruction costs were going up, no one would be able to afford earthquake insurance anymore. But because we have this public mission, we're in this for our policyholders, we've found ways to lower our rates by 50%, despite the fact that the cost to rebuild homes are going up 170%. So all that means is earthquake insurance is so much more affordable now because the state had the wisdom 22 years ago to create this nonprofit to step into the void being left by insurance companies who wanted nothing more to do with this risk.
So we talk about things like the San Andreas Fault. We talk about things that could absolutely crack this state in half. And if you had a worst case scenario, what would that do to the funds that are available in the California Earthquake Authority?
Great question. We have tremendous financial strength, and we're really required to by law and by an expectation that's set upon us by rating agencies that give a credit rating or give a financial strength rating to insurance companies. So state law requires us to charge rates that are actuarially sound. That means that we have to build into our rate enough to cover our expected losses. Rating agencies require us to have so much ability to pay claims that we could handle what they call a 1 in 400 year event. That doesn't mean an earthquake that only happens once every 400 years, but it means we need to have every year enough to handle all losses that are so great, those amount of losses wouldn't be expected to happen more than once every 400 years. So In other words, we got a lot of money. We have $18 billion in claims paying capability through money we have in the bank, through reinsurance that we buy and other tools in our at our disposal. If Northridge were to reoccur today, we estimate our losses would be about $6 billion, and we have $18 billion in claims paying capability. So we're pretty well prepared. Now, it is possible that California could get hit by the, you know, the San Andreas movie, and we got Dwayne Johnson flying around in helicopters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
The Rock. And all the rocks coming down as a result of it.
Yeah. There could be a cataclysmic, a tectonic event that's, you know, never occurred in the history of of our planet that would be difficult for us to pay all of our claims, okay? That could happen. It's a probability of that happening is infinitesimal. But the there's a mechanism in place to make sure that in that event, we're paying everything we can, and people shouldn't be concerned about that.
And then, you know, it's important to understand these sort of things, because I remember when California Earthquake Authority first came in, after insurance companies said they were done, that there were questions about, you know, what kind of coverage could you actually have, and could your home be replaced completely? And so 22 years is a long time to be able to build up resources.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we haven't had something so devastating as a Northridge quake in all those years.
What it's allowed, that peacetime has allowed us to do, is really get our financial strength underneath us and then get better and smarter about the kind of coverage that we offer. And so now people can really choose. They can choose a low deductible on their policy, for example, that means that there will be less deducted from what we pay out. And that's going to cost a little more because they get more coverage. But if they also have the option of choosing a higher deductible, 25%, in which they're self-insuring more of the loss, basically. But their premium then cost will be a lot less because they're getting less coverage. So the people are now in the driver's seat to get the policy that meets their needs and budget, and people are responding.
I want to give you a softball here. Not that I've thrown any real hard balls.
It's about time.
Yeah, hey. you got 90% of the people in California that don't have this coverage, and to me that's kind of hard to understand when you live in a place that you know the threat exists. However, I guess it's because, as you said, people are complacent when it's not necessary to do something because you don't think something's going to happen. So if those 90% are listening right now, what do you want to say to those 90% of the people that aren't covered?
Well, thanks. Important question. First of all, we live in earthquake country, and the scientists say we're going to get hit again. The virtual certainty of a 6.7 happening sometime in the next 30 years, somewhere in California, so we ought to be prepared, number one. Number two, federal government's not going to come in and rebuild your home. And we learned time and time again that that's not the case. There's emergency assistance available. Thank God FEMA comes to the front lines and help people through the crisis, water and emergency supplies and so forth. But the maximum FEMA grant you can get is $33,000. That doesn't rebuild anybody's home. So the risk is real. The federal government's not going to come in and rebuild your home. Earthquake damage is specifically excluded from your homeowner's policy, so you ought to get insured. Most of us have a lot of our retirement plan wrapped up in the equity in our home. Without an earthquake insurance policy, you're likely to lose all that in a heartbeat if the big one happens close to you. So you can afford you can put in place an affordable policy now. It's flexible to meet your own needs, and it really, the clock's ticking, and now would be a good time to take a look at getting that financial protection in place.
So one thing we want to take away from this is it's important to think in terms of how you're going to be whole again if you get broken up by an earthquake. The other thing is to remember duck cover and hold, right?
Drop cover and hold.
Drop
cover and hold.
I said duck cover and hold. I guess I'm mixing up my drills here.
Well, yeah.
The Russians.
The
nuclear threat when I was a kid.
Yeah, when we were kids, we were told to duck under that wooden desk as if that's going to help us when they drop a bomb
on us. That's what President Fred Flintstone said back then when we were kids, right?
Right.
It's a long time ago on a planet very far away. Yeah. But the planet still is the planet underneath us, and as a result of that, we got to think about potential disasters, and you certainly have a message that relates to that all the time.
And the science now is clear. We're going to get hit again, and and the way to stay safe, and we got to teach our kids this, and all of us need to heed the lesson. Drop to the ground, cover your head, and hold on. And that's going to save lives. You know, a final point on that is there was an earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand, just a few years ago, a couple of them, and over 100 people died. And most of the deaths were caused by people who ran out of the building when it was shaken, and they were killed by things dislodged from the rooftops that came tumbling down. So the simple drill, we got to preach over and over, because it's going to save lives when the big one hits.
But you know, I got to tell you, and I hate to be the one that pours water on the fire here, but you know, it's like I remember Northridge, and I remember I was my beat that day was the building that pancaked on top of people. They didn't run out of the building. They didn't have a chance to run out of the building. That building came down on top of them, and they never knew what happened.
Well, and that's a horrible tragedy, and. Building codes now are designed to do their best to make sure that doesn't happen again.
And that's constantly a work in progress, right?
It is. But building codes now really are designed to make sure that people survive. They're not strong enough yet, building codes are, to make sure the building is going to be usable after the earthquake. But codes are much better now about making sure that people are going to live, and we'll go from there.
Well, as one who's been through earthquakes, I know you're waiting for your first big one, but it's not that much fun, believe me.
Yeah.
But I've been there and I've done that, and you know, it's good to have. Here's what I would tell you, just from the world according to Hal. One, it's really important to have stuff in your trunk. You really never know. It's important to have water in your garage. You really just never know. Blankets, flashlights, batteries, you know, you just never really know. And I think the bottom line is that, you know, when it comes to things like insurance coverage, when it comes to things like, you know, drop, cover, and hold, these are all things that just need to be part of an intuitive sort of package of things that every Californian needs to know.
The world according to Hal. We'd all do well by paying more attention to the world according to Hal.
I'm not here to endorse insurance, by the way, but it, you know, if you live in California and you haven't at least looked at it, you know, it's probably something worth looking at.
Well, the great thing about the CEA is we're in this to make sure the community survives. So actually, there are some companies who sell earthquake insurance that are not affiliated with us. We think that's great. When we're out having conversations like these and people become motivated to get insured and they buy from a company that's not a member of the CEA, we ring the bell. That's a great outcome. So we don't view them as competitors.
One other thing that we should end on here, and that's this notion of the website and all the different things that you have available on your website.
Yeah. Well, California Earthquake Authority, 80% of the earthquake policies sold in the state are sold by the CEA. And the way that someone can see if there's a policy that's right for them is just jump on our website. It's earthquakeauthority.com. That's earthquakeauthority.com. And click on get an estimate, and then just spend a minute putting in your house information, your zip code and so forth, what year your home was built. And then you can get into the options. You move dials back and forth to select the amount of coverage you want, the size of the deductible you want. And as you move the slider, you can see what it does to the premium. So it's very flexible, very customizable, and people get it set up so that it provides them what they need at a price they can afford. And then call their agent and say, this is what I want.
Thanks for joining us. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast, What the Hal. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere where you get podcasts. And if you don't mind, if you like what we do, give us a good ranking, like 5 stars. Have a great week, everyone. See you next time.